This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
It's the drive at four? No, that would never be. Nope, you'd be laughed out of the room in radio.
Hang on, we need something that rhymes. It's the boar at four. No, that's bad.
That's terrible. Yeah. No, it has
that
to rhyme.
It does not shine a very complimentary light on Sal either. I'm sorry, Sal.
How dare you? In radio, it would have to rhyme or else you're fired.
The roar at four?
That's maybe something.
More at four?
Yeah.
Sal's a third person. We're bringing Sal in. It's more at
if the word weather didn't come close to rhyming with together. Who knows what? We might all be out of business. I mean,
that's right. There would have never been traffic.
There would never have been weather together. And traffic and weather. Traffic, nothing in weather
traffic
together.
Traffic would have gotten lost. It needed to be tethered to weather.
It had,
that also rhymes!
One of the, you know, hidden gems out there in radio lore. Sal Capaccio, are you still there?
I'm just taking notes for next year's 'Twas the Night Before Buffalo Sports Christmas poem while you guys are doing that, so I can rhyme some things here, you know?
If it doesn't rhyme, just leave. Okay, so here we go. The final game, likely to be the final game at the stadium, certainly the final regular season game. Sal, have either of us asked you, like, your all-time moment there? Is there one? Are there too many where it's too hard to name one?
There are many. It is not too hard for me to name one. It is 51-3.
Okay.
I am a senior in high school. I'm in the front row of the upper deck on the Raiders' side. And it's incredibly hard to explain to anybody how amazing it was inside that stadium for a full hour and a half, knowing the Buffalo Bills were going to their first Super Bowl ever. And it was a complete party the entire second half. It's just something that I'll never forget. And I would say that the perfect game probably came kind of close for a lot of people, knowing the Bills were burying the Patriots the entire second half. It was amazing. But to go to the Super Bowl, the backdrop of the first Gulf War, everything that happened, that is number one for me on top of a list of many others that I guess would come close.
I you've made this point before. I know. I think we talked about it at some point in the months leading up to now, and just for some reason, just now hearing you say it, to be there, it definitely feels to me like a thing that if I had been there, I'm sure I would agree with you. But I wasn't. I wasn't there for that, and I wasn't there for the comeback game. So like when I was asked by Tim Graham at The Athletic to put together a ranking of games, I had those one and two, but with the comeback game on top because it was such an incredible game and it's the greatest comeback in history and all that. But man, I hear you loud and clear on 51-3. Like that feeling, even though I wasn't watching it in the stadium, knowing we went out, it was a nice day where I lived at the time. We went out and played basketball at halftime, came back midway through the third quarter. It was just like, there's no pressure. I can do anything I want right now. During the AFC championship game, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah. And I wasn't at the comeback game either. One of the only couple of games I didn't go to during the playoff run of those years. And so I couldn't tell you, but I could only imagine the reason why I would still probably put it above if I was there is the comeback was terrible for the first half, and then you were on the edge of your seat, and you didn't know how it was going to end, and you couldn't enjoy the moment. You know, going to your first Super Bowl, enjoying the moment with 80,000 people partying was unbelievable. And I still remember, like, it's still in my brain, the three chants that came out. Thank you, Bills. Thank you, Bills. Super Bowl. Super Bowl. And then, unbelievably, considering the time period and a few years after when he was just, always just vilified, thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Ralph. this happened the entire second half.
Yeah. You know, part of this also comes to, like, what task are you being asked? What's the question you're being asked? What's your favorite moment? Or, like, what's the best game? Right? Because a 41-3 game at halftime that ends 51-3 is nobody's idea objectively of a good game or a great game.
Correct.
It's a great experience, whereas the comeback game is a very different experience, like you're saying, for the first half, but the game is way more compelling as it lays out into the second half because of the greatest comeback. So you got to kind of, like, be careful about what question you're answering, you know, when you're looking at that too, I think.
I think so too. I've said this many times, right? Like, that's the greatest, like, thing for the experience for me. It's a great way to put it. It's a great word. You know, the moments, the snapshot moments, I don't know if there's anyone better than Taron Johnson's pick six for me. You know, I was one of 7,000 people in the stadium, basically, right? And I've always said, like, that's the first time in my life I think I could tell you that things moved in slow motion for me. And I never believed when people would say, oh, this moved in slow motion. I always thought it was a bunch of hogwash. I think it did. Like, it was like he's running down the sidelines. I'm in the stands because I couldn't get on the field because of the COVID protocols, and the fans in the stands I'm watching them just jump up and down like in slow motion. It was unbelievable. Like, that's a snapshot moment.
Yeah.
I have a couple that are just, like, professionally just kind of amazing and incredible. Like Bill Vinovich, the referee in the game, coming over to me during the snow game against Miami and asking me to announce to the crowd to stop throwing snowballs. And I had to explain to him I was on the radio and I'm not the PA announcer. Like, it was really funny and incredible.
Wow.
being hit against the wall during a fight between Shaq Lawson and Leonard Fournette. Like, I got hit against the wall while they were fighting.
You were
and
there
then
for that.
Last year, guys, I mean, I say it this way. I was the closest person on the planet to Mark Andrews when he dropped the ball. And I picked it up and handed it to the official. It was incredible.
Did the official then ask you to make an announcement about how
no,
bad the
he didn't
drop
do that.
Was?
No, he just did.
How does Bill Vinovich not know that the sideline reporter doesn't?
I don't know. He's remembering Sam Weiss grabbing the microphone from the sideline somewhere and telling you, you're not in Cleveland.
Yeah, there was some way to do it.
Right. Yes. So he assumed maybe that's the wire that he saw you with the microphone and thought of Sam Weiss. And like, okay, I'm going to go ask that guy. I'm going to do this.
Can I throw in one of mine?
He sees the mic on my hip, yeah. and I have this great photo of me explaining it to him, and the look on his face, Bulldog, I got to show you the photo if I never did. You will laugh because he's like looking at me like, what are you talking about? You can't announce this.
I'll throw in one of mine. I'm not clear on, like, a number one. Most of my favorite moments, they're all before I started working there. Like, they're all as fans. But I remember where I was sitting in 1990 for the game against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And it was this huge game, not the utmost pressure because it was an NFC opponent, but it was still, like, much like last week. Like, it was two good teams, playoff teams meeting in that game. And the Bills got out 24-0. They got out on Philadelphia that day. Like, oh, well, you know, nice try.
Yeah.
And I'm at the corner all the way down at the other end of the stadium from where the Eagles are snapping the ball on the Randall Cunningham to Fred Barnett play. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, being in awe of it. Like, you could barely – you saw Bruce Smith, who never let go. He never missed. So he's got Cunningham, like, wrapped up. Well, mm-hmm. We found out in the Super Bowl there would be a second time.
Yes.
But he had Cunningham, like, sort of dead to rights in the end zone. And the place is already – in hysterics because the Bills are dominating this team. And then, wait, the ball comes out, Barnett, and he's just running up the field, and, like, that's right in front of me. And just like, wow, that was something. This is one where I kind of wanted to be able to see this on television because I don't even really know what I just saw.
What happened in the end zone, you're not real clear on. It's
no.
So far away.
You get one look at it, and the replays weren't good yet on the scoreboard. So maybe not my favorite game ever to have gone to, but something I still think about.
Yeah. You guys know, and I've said, you know, I hold it dear, too. I had a chance to play in the stadium. I played a championship game there, and I'll never, ever forget walking out of the tunnel with a helmet and shoulder pads on, right? I mean, like, I go down the tunnel every week now, and I still remember coming out of the tunnel and looking over and seeing moms and dads and everybody in our student body and people cheering. Like, it was just pretty amazing to be able to kind of say you played on that field, you know?
I wouldn't pick Bulldog that 1997 Denver game where I was relegated to that lounge area in the press box where you're not allowed to see the field. And almost the entire Denver media contingent didn't make it to Buffalo because of snow. So I took the liberty of taking a seat and was absolutely reamed out in the press box for doing so.
For sitting somewhere that, where you
that's
weren't
assigned. Not my favorite memory of the stadium.
Is that the Andre Reed double reverse pass game?
Maybe. Yeah. I thought maybe it would be okay to sit down. No.
Yeah.
No, not without, you know, filling out forms and whatever else.
Well, Sal, what do you, I mean, does it feel a little weird that the game is one of these games where we don't know who should play, how much should we play, what is the stake, how hard do you want to chase the stake? It kind of bums me out that, like, this game, I mean, I'm glad the Bills have an option here. They don't have to go hard just to get in the playoffs, that they're assured of at least playing beyond Sunday. But it's kind of weird. Like, all the hoopla about the red helmets and, like, Josh Allen is likely to take a snap and then sit down, I'm guessing. I don't know what your guess on that would be at this point, but that would be mine.
Yeah, mine too. So it's funny. My ideal situation when the schedule came out for this was, the Bills have the one seed wrapped up. The game doesn't matter. And they can just have fun with this. And the fans can have fun with this. We can enjoy the moment. We can enjoy the finale and everything that goes along with it, even though it wouldn't be then the final game.
Right.
So we're kind of like that, except obviously it didn't go the right way. The standings, this is going to be the last game. But what we did get is, you know, there's no pressure to win, really, I guess, other than, you know, you can improve your seeding and they're going to have to kind of think about that a little bit. But I do like the fact that it will be about Highmark. It won't be about the pressure of the game and winning and trying to win the division this week. And I know you'd rather have it the other way. You'd rather have this game meaning get it the one seed and all that. But I do like that we can kind of just really enjoy the doing what we need to do here with the stadium and the fact that the Bills can actually get Josh Allen out of there and get James Cook out of there and get ready for the playoffs and be healthy.
What kind of sense do you get about Cook? I think we agree on Allen. I'd be very surprised if anything other than him taking a snap to continue his game started streak, and then sitting down. Cook is a little more complicated. Like I'm sure it matters to the offensive linemen. I'm sure it matters to Cook how much. I don't know. You know, guys can be different about stuff like that, thinking about the big picture as opposed to individual accolades. I just wonder how. I don't know, is it delicate at all to you, the Cook situation?
I don't know if I'd say delicate. I think that everybody, in some sense, is on the same page, which is this. It's important to them. It's important to James Cook. James Cook wants to win the rushing title. Sean McDermott acknowledged to me on the Extra Point Show today that they're very aware of it. I think, you know, last year is a great example of how much these things do matter, which is when they put James Cook back in the game after he was out so he could break the rushing TD record. You guys remember? Well, you know, he's 47 yards ahead of Jonathan Taylor. They're going to know going into the game what he needs or not needs, but you do have Derrick Henry lurking behind him at like 137 behind. But McDermott acknowledged it today that this is something they want. It's a very big source of pride. And I think if I remember correctly, the way Sean described it with me, or maybe it was after me when he was with the rest of the media, it was interesting. He mentioned the O-line as part of this. Like, that's a big source of pride to have the rushing title leader.
You know, I hope no one is superstitious enough to hold this comment against me, but one, I thought, strike against Cook coming into the league was because of his size, he was never going to be a bell cow. Like, that, the Bills even said that day one, and it's still been true. Like, on third down, he comes off the field. Like, he plays plenty, but he doesn't play at all. And neither is Henry, by the way, at this stage of his career. But anyway, just like one strike against him, I thought, was 5'11", 190. Like, what is that going to be in terms of how many, you know, how much mileage you can handle? He has been very durable. You know, like he missed one game last year, nothing this year so far. So, you know, it might be a little bit of a trap, I guess, or not. But maybe there's a sense of confidence that Cook is impervious to an injury, right? Because he's just been able to take on so much, and I'd want to be careful with that.
I totally get it. I know. I think that part is the delicate part, right? Which is, you don't want to really chance anything, but you also know that this is really important to everybody involved. So that being said, I agree with you. He's been very durable. I just think the way he runs, his vision, the way he's able to kind of move his body around, he doesn't take a lot of big hits. They also run a lot of zone, inside zone, where he can kind of maneuver and pick his holes. He's not running right into the line and these big guys. So all that helps for sure. Yeah, and look, I think that they all know that James Cook is a very, very important piece of them needing, you know, him to be available once it comes to next week. It's also, you know, you play football. Football players play football, and that's what, you know, coaches will always tell you. There's only so many guys you can play. So I would expect him, if he needs to get to a certain mark, to pass Jonathan Taylor, they'll do that. What I wonder is if Taylor doesn't catch him, do they play him at all? Because with Henry behind him, you say, you know what, if Henry gets him, he gets him. But do you want to get him some extra yards? I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of the durability, only Taylor has two more carries than Cook in the NFL the entire
Amazing.
Season. Like, he's 307 carries. So even though he is coming off the field, like Mike says, no one has carried the ball more times.
That's interesting,
him.
Too, because like Taylor does not have an easy backup. There's not somebody like Bijan has Algier. Gibbs has Montgomery. Taylor doesn't have anybody. Like, there's nobody
right
moving in on his workload. But, you know, Cook has Johnson or even Davis. Like, there's been a little bit of that. Johnson is more of a pass-catching role. Yeah, that is interesting, though. And I could totally see Henry running him down if he doesn't play at all because Derrick right. Henry on Sunday night, and if they get out against Pittsburgh, that's going to be their number one. It's not – these teams are always very close, but if it does happen that way, then Derrick Henry is your rushing title winner if it's
you know, right.
if the Bills choose to sit Cook.
If they sit Cook down, you could easily see him going for 150 yeah. or more.
Or even Bijan.
Right.
Because what else do they have? Like, he's within the same sort of distance as Cook, I think. Sal, what about injuries here? So you talked to Sean McDermott today. What do we need to know?
Terrell Bernard has been ruled out of the game, so we'll see. Now, I do wonder about, on this note, like, is Shaq Thompson going to play a lot? He's an older player. You need him, and especially Bernard's injured. Like, you don't want two middle linebackers down, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Joe Andreessen get a lot of run in this game, guys. Last game ever at Highmark, that'd be cool for him, too, growing up in this area. I think that's a cool storyline, but, you know, you want to make sure that these guys stay healthy. Matt Milano's in the same boat. You put Dorian Williams at will linebacker a little bit more, just because Matt, to stay, you know, to keep him healthy. Not that he's injured, he's not. So we know that. We know Josh is off the injury report. Sean said he's good to go. We just talked about, yes, I expect him to start and then get out of the game at some point. We'll see about that. Who else is out of the game? I don't have it in front of me, guys. I apologize.
Daquan Jones.
Poyer, too.
Daquan yeah. Jones and Jordan Poyer. Thank you. Daquan Jones and Jordan Poyer. So these are guys who, I mean, I don't know if this was a playoff game, would they be more available? Maybe, but we don't know that. And it's not a playoff game, and it's a good idea to kind of rest them another week, wait till next week. We also know they're, you know, still dealing with Dalton Kincaid and, you know, what you want to do with him. And I'd be surprised maybe if he got any time this week because you're still – what's it worth, right, to put him out there right now, give him another week before you do that. Joey Bosa. So I just think that this is a tough – when you look at the injury report, it's not about the injury report as much as it's about really just making sure that they're as healthy as can be. And Sean kind of underscored that today. Like, I think today one thing that came out, if you listen to him with me, if you listen to him with the rest of the media afterwards, he multiple times brought up the safety and health of the players beyond, you know, this week. And I think he's telling you, like, we just need to be as healthy as we can next week.
Yeah. I think, though, you still would like to win the game if you can, right? I wonder,
yeah, that's right.
Because they do have a chance to move up if everything else breaks right, and they'll know a little bit about that by the time they take the field, right? Because there's the only game that impacts them directly is the Charger game against the Broncos. That's in the same window. Everything else is earlier, if I remember right, aside from Pittsburgh-Baltimore, but that doesn't really impact their seeding. Somebody's going to be the
right.
four, whoever wins that game. It's like, I wonder, Sal, I wonder how much he thinks his backups can beat the Jets in the state they're in.
Yeah. I think Sean McDermott would probably think that his team can still win this game, the people he puts on the field. You know, it's always like, this is not a preseason roster, right? People have to remember that. This is not 90 guys.
Right.
They can only dress 48. And out of that 48, you already have three that are ruled out that are normal starters. Like, other guys have to play. They can't just rest everybody and play right. it like a third preseason game. So I think the guys are going to play. The biggest question is, you'll miss Trubisky and him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, him being your starting quarterback, but he'll have a game plan. He's had the starters reps all week. So this is a Jets team that, honestly, you know, Mike and I last week, we both thought the Jets would put up much bigger fight against the Patriots than they did. Oh, my God. I mean, they just – I'm listening to watching and reading New York media, and they're like, they can't believe how much they just kind of laid down and showed no fight whatsoever. And I think this might be a run for the bus game for the Jets, too. So I think the Bills are pretty confident, especially with the environment and how jacked up everybody's going to be, that the team they put out on the field can win this game.
Bulldog is so sorry. He doesn't know it. He's so sorry he missed me talking up the Jets last week. I'd like to see Tyrod Taylor play in the last game of the stadium.
Yeah.
Top five.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Top five Bills quarterback in stadium history? Question mark.
Ooh. Bills quarterback. I mean, you got to go Josh, Jim, Joe, the three J's, Ferguson.
Bledsoe. Yep.
Tyrod next? Is Fitz next?
Oh, Fitz has got to be next.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, nice beard, but come on. Come on. Well, question mark was said.
Flutie could be next.
Who? Flutie.
Flutie could be next.
Flutie? That's better.
Yeah.
That's better.
People love Fitz.
I do too.
It's not
whatever.
That's not your best, right?
His brand wasn't being good.
What question are you being asked? Again, circling back to 51-3 right. Versus the comeback game. Like, what are we talking about? A moment, or are we talking about the game, the competition? You know.
You know what though? You just triggered something in my head. That would be great. You know, I have a lot of respect and love for Tyrod myself. I really do. And every time that I've, you know, the Bills have played against him, I've made it a point to just connect and say hello. He's always been very gracious, and I will tell you that every single person that's played with him, including Eric Wood, will tell you how great of a teammate that he is and was. And I think that would be pretty cool if Tyrod got to play this week. I agree with that.
Then he had to go to that one Super Bowl and talk about how harsh the Buffalo media was. I'm like, oh, man, I thought I understood you. I thought I knew you. wait, get out there. Get to New York. Get to L.A. And he did. Well, not L.A.
Right.
Yeah, to Cleveland, at least.
No, he got to the Chargers.
I know, but L.A. isn't like harsh football media, probably,
just
by general stereotypes.
All right.
I don't know. Come on, buddy. It's really that bad for you? anyway, thank you, Sal. Enjoy Sunday. It should be really special.
You got it, guys. You too. See you then.
All right. That is our Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Well, top 10 is safe. Maybe top 5 is a little rich. I'm leaving out the rock pile, by the way, if you didn't notice. That doesn't exist today.
It does thin out pretty quick because you start getting to like Edwards and Lossman and like, what are we doing here?
Well, I'm not putting them above
it. Right, exactly. Me either.
You and your Billy Joe Hobert fan
fiction. I saw E.J. Manuel on TV this week.
He's on a lot now.
Yeah, I saw him. Bowl week is a big week for him, or whatever this is called. Is it still called bowl week?
I don't even know.
But I was out on New Year's Eve, I think it was, and he was there in the studio.
Yep.
Not a panel, just like him and a host. That's it.
Yep. Breaking down Coastal.
Good for him. I didn't hear any of it because I didn't have the sound on I was. So, you know, but he looks
good.
He presents well on
TV.
He's
super good-looking guy.
Yep.
Yes, Coastal and La Tech. We needed to know what was supposed to happen in that game. Same with Georgia Southern and Appalachian State. Somebody's job is to tell you what to look for in those games. Mm-hmm. And it was his this week, and that's to his credit. Somebody gets that call, and it was E.J. Manuel this week, who's not one of the top five Bills quarterbacks ever in the stadium.
No.
I'm saying it. You won't say it. I'll say it. 803-0550, Football Friday. It is Friday, by the way. There might be some confusion out there. Mike Chauvin, the Bulldog
there
here.
There is in here, I'll tell you that.
We will be here for your calls going up all the way for at least an hour. And right now, though, because you can appreciate this as we are exhausted, it's time for a break. And this break is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.